actively involved. Well, you do that, you say. You go to budgets. Sometimes you go to study circles. You go to discourses. You attend retreats. Yes, that's proactively involved with a small p. With a capital P, you must think big. That is our theme and that is our message. And we're really preaching to ourselves, so excuse me, please forgive me if I'm a little overbearing at times, because I need to get this message. And perhaps if I talk loudly enough to myself, some of you might pick up on it too. That's how fast these next 12 years are going to go by. That's how soon we have to be prepared to really shoulder the message of Sri Satya Sai Baba to the rest of the world. You know, I remind us again, it's his will that the tiniest of fractions of 1% of the world's population have ever heard his name. And we must come forth in a way that we're going to be challenged over and over again, as Sam said yesterday, by the darkness of the current world to keep us in our place. And I don't mean we have to be overly aggressive or too assertive. We just have to wear our message of who we are. We have to become proactive disciples of Sri Sai Baba. Excuse me for my exuberance, because I get caught up sometimes in the message of what I want to say, because I feel it so deeply. And it's been growing over so many years, and I really can't, in a group setting like this, contain myself. Because I'm asked to contain myself when I step out into the public. So many people don't have any interest in learning about him because they don't know anything about him. And there's a fine line between being a proselytizer and being a disciple. Baba doesn't want us to proselytize, to stand on soapboxes, on street corners, and talk about the end is coming and Baba's our salvation. He doesn't want that. Let others do that. Thank you, Baba. He doesn't want that. He does not want that. And he just underscored that. But he does want us to be proactive disciples, to wear our message. And we can do it, as I said yesterday, without even having to mention his name. People will ask you what's changed in your life. And I'm sure that's already happened. Before we go any further, and before we talk at a deeper level about discipleship, I've been asked to have us mention something about what we do in the form of welcoming Seva, since maybe not everybody will be with us tomorrow, just to spend a few minutes, and Jody is going to talk about this, about how it happens in our neck of the woods. Why do we have this ability, which isn't unusual, which isn't phenomenal? We just use a technique, or it's almost like a recipe, to attract people who are on a spiritual path, who have yet to hear about Sai Baba, to become interested in knowing more about Sai Baba. Well, it's through sweat and tears, I guess, and innovation, and Jody's the one who's mainly responsible for an approach that seems to work where we are, and we're going to talk about it in length tomorrow, but I'd like her to give you an overview of how that can be of service to any of you, no matter where you live, no matter what your community consists of.
Our apologies to those who attended our workshop yesterday. I'm going to be repeating myself a little bit, but Rao has insisted that we do this here today as well, even though we didn't intend to. Ted and I are coining a term, welcoming Seva, and we're proposing to the Sai organization, to all of us, that it be considered a seva just as important as any other, and I assure you it is more time-consuming than almost any other. You need to set aside your other sevas to do it, and when I tell you about what it involves, you'll understand. But first and foremost, I'd like to, if possible, light a fire under each of you. To have you understand what it feels like to watch Sai Baba seduce someone, to watch him reintroduce himself into someone's life, to watch him, to watch that soul awaken to the even the possibility that God is incarnate on earth now. It's so exciting. I've got shivers saying those words. And I've watched it so many times. It's to watch him at his magical best. And I use the word seduce after much thought because it has overtones which aren't appropriate here. But he is seductive, and he does it for each person in a different way, perfectly calibrated for that person's personality and timed for that person. And I've watched him do it 300 ways in different timing. Sometimes it's overwhelming for some of us whom I've watched. For example, Margaret, it was a tidal wave. I watched the tidal wave. I cried with her. She had heard of Sai Baba before she and I met, but I saw the tidal wave take her under. It was a pleasure to watch. Sometimes, as with my darling here, it's a 10-year slow seduction with him fighting every step of the way, and that was really amusing to watch. With some people, it's a very slow process. They're frightened when they hear about this possibility that God is in a body. Particularly Westerners are frightened by this for reasons I won't go into right now, but so I spoon feed them just the information they ask for, knowing all along their goose is cooked. It's over for them. Their whole life is going to change. Sometimes it takes years. They ask me a little question, I feed them a little answer, knowing that's all they can cope with right now. Next time I see them, they ask me another little question, I feed them another little answer. I know they're on his line. He's just reeling them in slowly as they can handle it. And it's a pleasure to watch that. Ted and I talk about welcoming Seva in five ways. First, there's the ongoing nameless presentation, of which we all are. Every time you leave your house, we represent Sai Baba. There might as well be a neon sign, you know, flashing. I'm a Baba devotee. I'm a Baba devotee. People sooner or later find out what it is about you that gives you a special calm, a special joy, a special consideration. At work, the people who, particularly the people who get to know you well on a day-to-day basis, will eventually ask. Even on at a short encounter, people do ask, "You're so happy. What is it about you?" Or things like that. This is what I call the ongoing nameless presentation. You are presenting Sai Baba to those who've never heard of him, and without ever mentioning his name. And we do it just walking down the street. I really feel we create an aura as we walk down the street and attract people to us that way. He tells us he is very magnetic, and we carry him with us. And I know he's magnetic from within us. I experience it. I experience people. I find it inexplicable, except to say that it's Baba's magnetism, who really want to know what makes me happy. What makes me walk down the street feeling like a million bucks? And there's only one thing. It's Satya Sai Baba. I wasn't like this before I knew him. So that's the ongoing nameless presentation that we do every day, all day, and it's a great pleasure to do. Then there's the formal presentation. Each center needs to develop its own style of presentation on a formal basis. It should be given on an as-needed basis, offered on an as-needed basis. And my feeling is if there's one person asking, that's the need to respond to. If your center doesn't really feel they know how to do this, our website, which I'll be handing out a flyer a little later, soldierns.net offers a booklet, a text basically, telling you exactly how to do it, how pitfalls to avoid, what not to say is very important, what to say, how to say it, what to show them initially, how to handle them, how to welcome them, things like that. And it's very specific because I've learned over 11 years of doing this that I've learned how to do it, and I've made a lot of mistakes. So I've learned I can help you. You don't have to make the mistakes I've made. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from mine on soldierns.net, and I'll hand you a flyer that has that website. The booklet was blessed by Sai Baba. I tell you that to give it credibility. And I know he wrote it because I couldn't have done it myself. As well, we have a film you can offer to people called Who is Sai Baba? It's available. I'll tell you about where it's available. It's 15 minutes. If someone says no thank you to a 15-minute film, they're not ready. They're not ready. They don't want it. Don't give it to them. It'll sit on a shelf. I know this. I've learned this. That's not someone he's calling right now. So there's the ongoing nameless presentation. There's the presentation at your center, which is a formal presentation. Oh, I forgot the casual presentation, which is, and the symptom, the alert signal for the casual presentation is when your coworker says, why do you go to that particular place in India? Or
who is that person? Or who is that person in the picture that's sitting on your desk or tacked up on your bulletin board?
Who is that guy with the funny hair? They will eventually ask, who are these photos at your house? They will eventually ask. That's your signal. You need to answer that question. That's your sign. Their soul has been called to hear the name of Satya Sai Baba. He's told us this is a blessing our souls have waited thousands of lifetimes to hear. This is the moment you're being used as an instrument in that soul's existence. It brings tears to my eyes. It's a big moment. That's the third. Okay, thank you. The fourth is every center needs a greeting committee. I can tell you from 30 years of looking for Sai Baba and not finding him that every church has and every spiritual organization has a greeting committee. It's people who greet you at the door and say, hello, we're so happy you're here. This is my name. I want you to meet so-and-so. I want you to meet these people, blah, blah, blah. What is your name? What brought you here? Here's where you should sit. We're glad you're here. What can I do for you? Do you have questions? Blah, blah, that sort of thing. That's the greeting committee. Here's some information for you. It's easy. It's just common courtesy, friendliness. What you would do for someone coming into your home. Okay, that's for...
By the way, your greeting committee is sitting up against the right wall right now when you became a devotee.
Yes, oh, I know. She's right there in orange. Radha.
Radha Garuda took Jody completely under her wings when she knew this much or less about Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Radha was far more than a greeting committee. She was a mentor to me. And beyond greeting, I'll talk about that in just a minute, and beyond greeting, there needs to be, welcoming seva, sort of a study circle, welcoming study circle seva. If your newcomers are Westerners, They're not going to relate to Bajans initially. It's an acquired taste for Westerners. But they will relate to a study circle. I've devised an agenda for a welcoming study circle, for a Psy welcoming study circle for newcomers. It involves quotes from Sam Sandweiss's first book, The Holy Man and the Psychiatrist. Those quotes are seminal. They don't use too many words that Westerners don't understand, and if they do use those words, they're defined. It's a bit of a trick, because if they get that book in their hands just to study the quotes during the study circle, they're going to read it. The book is a page turner. For me, it was, that was it. Two chapters, and that was it for me. It's been 16 years or so, and Satya Sai Baba is our life, my life. He's my heart and my soul after those first two chapters. So I like to get that book into their hands, and I do it using that little trick. And it works. So every center should have some activities geared around the newcomers. I'm going to propose things like, at our own center, like an evening or a session, an evening where we all tell our Leela stories. Everybody loves those. We eat them like candy, right? If the membership tells their Leela stories to the newcomers, and the newcomers tell their Leela stories to the membership, they'll get to know each other. Who forgets those? You don't forget them. They're great. And particularly if you're a newcomer, you never forget so-and-so's Leela story, never. It's one of your first introductions to Sai Baba. I'm going to propose that we have an evening where some of the longer-term members tell how I came to know Sai Baba and how it changed my life. It's a Sai Baba and I evening. Events that mix the newcomers and the old. In the welcoming study circle, I encourage old-timers to join us to learn to mentor. And tomorrow morning, our session is about mentoring, and that's what Radha was for me, a mentor. She was far more than a greeting committee. She was a friend. She taught me things that I could never have learned in books. She was my sponsor. She gave me my first picture of Sai Baba, which I slept with under my pillow till it was mangled. Many, many things around. I can go around my house and say, Radha gave me this, Radha gave me that. Most of the time I can say, Radha gave me what I'm wearing. Not today, but usually. Mentoring is very important, and it's an intimate relationship, and it's very fulfilling. I'm trying to tell you, this is an extremely time-consuming and very fulfilling seva, and I propose that every center initiate welcoming seva as an integral part, and assimilate these newcomers if they want to. It's our duty to be welcoming. It's our duty to provide information about Sai Baba. He does the heavy lifting. He proves who he is. He's the one who decides for them whether they're going to be a center member or not, whether they're going to be a sevak or a bhakti, someone who's just devotional, or whether they're going to be devoted to Baba just at home, or whether they're not going to be at all. He makes those decisions. That's up to not up to us. But our duty is to be welcoming, to offer it, so that they feel it's an option. And our duty is to give them the information they ask for. That's all we can do, and we can do it with pleasure. It's lots of fun. That's it.
And we're going to move on to the next topic that we're here to talk about today. But before, I'd like to ask just a couple more points to this, too. It's a great idea, I think, that she's envisioning that we're going to do an art center to have themes where newcomers will have a great interest, I think, in hearing about one another's Leelas, what brought them to Baba. I can think of another one called To Share Baba's Experiences. Baba's all about personal experiences. Just about every devotee I know, because I'm a reporter, and I don't hesitate asking them to share their experiences with me, tell me of their real, bona fide, take it to the bank, deposit it, experiences from Sai Baba. What a wonderful way for people to learn that, as Jody found out when she was yearning for a teacher in the form on this earth that drew her to Sai Baba before she knew his name, that experiences would be the hallmark of what Baba became in her life. So the list is probably endless, and it takes a little proactivity on our part to do. And one last word on what I call the real nuts and bolts, and I think this is what Rao is asking for too. Jody's outlined why it's important, where it can take people, how it can be used, and the nuts and bolts from my perspective is, where does this fit into our role as disciples, as people who are trying to think big, who are trying to be open to the subtle invitations to enter people's lives with a word or two about what we know that they haven't yet discovered? Well, there's four groups of Sai Baba devotees in my estimation, and one group in particular plays into that call very, very clearly. First of all, there's you and most people you know, dyed in the wool, longtime Sai Baba devotees. Secondly, there's people like Margaret and Jody and me who are, relatively speaking, new, solid Sai Baba devotees. Third, there are the people we all know. And Jody's introduced countless dozens, if not hundreds of them, to Sai Baba, who come and they receive. They're not always attending bhajans. Maybe it's not their cup of tea. Perhaps they don't care about study circles. Perhaps they are timid individuals. Perhaps they have their own private reasons. We tend to forget about them. They exist. One showed up at a study group I belong to, a non-Sai Baba study group, just last week. And she said, I shared this story yesterday, so forgive me, from the workshop. A woman came up to me after A Course in Miracles study shop, and she said, workshop, and she said, good to see you again. And remember me? And I said, yeah, I'm trying to place exactly when and where I met you. And it was 7 years ago. Oh, where did we meet? In your house. What were you doing in my house? I was attending a Sai Baba study circle. Oh, you were? That was the one and only meeting she ever attended. She became hooked totally by Sai Baba. She said, look, as if to prove it, and pulled a chain with a pendant of Sai Baba's picture from around her neck out to show me last week, just out of the blue. I mean, these things are happening on a regular basis. They knock me over. They're proof positive that we need to think a little more, Jody and me, about becoming proactive disciples because the opportunities are there. So it's this last group, the people who know a little bit about Sai Baba, but who don't always come, who could use a little proactive work on our part. What do I mean by that? Telling them, letting them know when Anil Kumar is coming to town. They might like to hear a discourse from somebody that close to Baba, letting them know about Baba's birthday, where we're going to have a special event in Chicago or Cleveland or Milwaukee this year. Letting them know about special things so that they have the feeling of inclusion rather than exclusion, even though we don't see them on a regular basis. But let me just add the fourth group, because that's the group where we can do the greatest good. And that's the group of people who have yet, as of this hour, on this Sunday morning, have never heard Sai Baba's name or seen his form or even dreamed about him. But they're prime, they're red meat, they're yearning, they're thirsting for somebody to give them a deeper opportunity to grow spiritually along these lines, perhaps. Maybe not in every case, but perhaps. And how do we find those people? They're sitting right next to you, on the bus, on the commuter train, at work, in your yoga class, in your physical therapy class or fitness class, in my Course in Miracles class, in the Kriya Yoga meditation group for 12 days we went to at John Carroll University. There was a visiting Swami from India, and he was imparting his knowledge of Kriya Yoga, and I had five people come up to me over the course of those 13 days, 13 nights,
asking about Sai Baba.
I was asked to give a few words during the middle of that concourse, and just about why I'm there, and I sort of mentioned my spiritual teacher, and I guess I mentioned him by name. And people, five people came up, four of whom came to the welcoming seva that Jody had in her house. And these people are coming back. They came back to hear Gianni Bailey talk. So it's that fourth group of how each and every one of us has an opportunity to be proactively disciples, to spot them when we see them, to recognize the person coming by with a smile when they say, "What is that powder on the dashboard of your car under this picture of this guy with the fuzzy hair? Where's Suresh? Suresh, are you here today?" Jayanti Mohan's son, he came up to me last night and said how much he enjoyed the brief interview that we did at his house. And he drives his car to the University of Michigan, and people get in and they see this vibhuti that formed on the dashboard of his car. What is this dust? Where did it come from? His answers are priceless. And I think, oh, there he is, Suresh. Say hello to Suresh, everybody. He has a proactive way of introducing Sai Baba's love and message and heart to other people because of the pile of dirt inside of his car. Why don't you clean your car, Suresh? So I hope I'm underscoring this fourth and critical group. It's the non-group group. They don't know they're in a group yet. But there are people in all sorts of meditation classes here in Chicago and Canton, Ohio, my hometown, and every place in between, who are doing all they can. They're reading autobiography of a yogi. They're learning about Yogananda because he's out there. His book has sold more books of autobiographies than any other autobiography on earth. So they're looking for the easy channels to become awakened at a deeper level. But they haven't hit upon Sai Baba yet.
And they need satsang. They're saying to me on the telephone, "I'm lonely. I feel alone in this pursuit." You know, and I'm saying, come, I'll introduce you to everyone. We need to reach out. The Sai Centers, what we have to offer at the Sai Center is beyond, way beyond what you realize. The Satya Sai Baba family are the nicest group of people I've ever met in my life. And there are very few Westerners who will feel otherwise. I'm telling you, what you have to offer is unbelievably wonderful. Please, you're here in this country for a reason. We really need you. Share it. And when you do, you'll have the pleasure of watching these newcomers have leelas, and they'll come back and tell you about their leelas and their intimate little stories. You'll become friends when you watch someone blossom spiritually, when you're part of it, when you're an instrument in that, you become intimate friends for life. As I've watched really hundreds of people learn about Sai Baba, I remember them, I remember the moment, I remember watching them weep, and I can't tell you how I feel, how close I feel to them. How I'll never forget it. Never forget it. It was a huge moment. And those that are at home, quietly, privately worshiping Sai Baba, if you scratch under the surface, they'll tell you they've got vibhuti forming in their desk drawer. They're getting dreams all the time. Phenomenal dreams.
They have healings.
Yeah.
They're just not joiners. Don't think of them as non-interested or off-putting. Because that's our human tendency to draw those conclusions.
He's coming to the most unlikely people now. Really the most unlikely people. He's coming to people who can't even tell their families at all because their families would pronounce them crazy. So they have this secret life. And there are several who call me Sai Sister, but it's a secret society.
Tell her about your call the other day from your friend in Cleveland who feels alone.
Oh, I just did.
Okay.
She hears my friend in Cleveland who hears Sai Baba's voice you know, all the time, sees him in her meditations all the time, gets all kinds of messages. She's a great mystic, has been seeing him for years, and she said, I feel so alone. Well, meanwhile, the rest of us feel like we're part of a global community. I don't feel alone in this. Do you?
Furthermore, there are people who find out about Baba, they swallow the hook, they love his form, they love his message, they love everything about him, and they have no place to go because no other door is open to them. We've repeated this here before, but years ago, when I was invited to give a talk, the subject of Sai Baba wasn't even on the radar, nor was the subject of spirituality. But all of a sudden it came up because somebody asked me what my passion was, and I turned to Jody and I said, you're the expert on Sai Baba, why don't you tell them what my passion is? And she talked for 10 minutes about Sai Baba at this church in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. 1 month from the day she talked, a woman joined us on the airplane to visit Sai Baba.
1 month from the hour.
One month from the day. A woman came to our house a year ago for a social luncheon with her friend a year and 2 months ago while Jody's bringing out lunch. Why do you go to India all the time? And I said, well, we go to see Sai Baba. That's all I said. Sai Baba comes to her every single day. Every single day. Guides her every motion.
Within a week, he was in her bedroom.
And her husband, let's just put it mildly, doesn't quite approve. And let's put it frankly, doesn't understand. And let's put it candidly, leaves her alone. She doesn't yet feel plugged into the overall
He doesn't psyche. Want her the photos around the house. He's told her that. It bothers him. Anyway, she calls, a week after she hears his name, she calls me up on the telephone, and I don't know her well. I didn't know her well at the time, and says, You didn't tell me he could do this. I was absolutely stunned. I said, well, you know, I didn't anticipate it. It's not frequent. And she thought he did this for everyone because he'd been coming to her for several days in a row and began talking all day long, giving her, being her constant companion, which we'd all, you know, give our right arm for, I would. And here she is, she's got him constantly by her side. He's giving her personal training. She will be a yogini, I feel, long before I. And I'm just thrilled for her. I cannot tell you. And within a week, I've told this story before, so those who have heard it, bear with me. Within a week of her hearing his name, she was at my house a couple times because she was really freaked out. This was nothing that had ever occurred to her that could happen in her life, and it didn't occur to me either. Anyway, she turned to me, and she looked at me with these big eyes and said, he's God. As if she was telling me the truth of the universe, which I didn't know. And I'm telling, my stomach almost hit the floor. I looked at her and I thought, this is such a moment for a Westerner to say that. I'm telling you, it is huge.
Now,
but she knew. She really knew it. It'll never change. She's a lifer.
These stories, as outstanding as they are, as phenomenal as they are nothing new to you. I've heard Rao stories, Venkat stories, Arun stories, Radha's stories. I've heard everybody's stories. They're just as phenomenal. But they're common to us because we're in the Sai fold. We've come to expect them. We come to see them as normal, as ordinary. When it happens in a person who's new to Sai Baba's life, it's not only phenomenal, they feel like they're the only person on the planet. They don't know where to turn. And I'm not saying you go out and invite them into your house on a nightly basis so that they have satsang, but in my estimation, and I don't think it's an overuse of the word, it's my enduring seva, my ongoing enduring seva to be open to these people. And if that doesn't mean it should conflict with the significance of the seva all of you do on a 100 levels of multitude of how you contribute to the community. You can do this as a companion seva. It should be, in my mind, for me, my overarching seva. Nothing, as Jody said, gives me more of a delight on this earth than to see somebody awakening for the first time to the presence of Baba in their life.
I have just...
One more thing, and then we're going to go on with today's program.
Okay. I just have one more thing to say. And this is really a thrill. Just a thrill. And then you go home at night and you think about, he doesn't need me to answer her questions, to answer his questions. He doesn't need me to tell them who Sai Baba is. He can just show up in the bedroom. Why am I involved? And I have to say to myself, and it makes me giggle all alone, when I'm all alone, he's doing it for my pleasure. He's allowing me to be an instrument. Why? Because I begged for it. I begged for it. And I cannot tell, it is such a pleasure.
So thank you, Ralph.
So when you are used as an instrument, all you can say is thank you. Thank you. What a life. I mean, who would have ever dreamed we'd be given a life like this? And it is simply, he's simply indulging me. I feel that I am his Raja Kumari. And we all are. And we all are very indulged by him. But particularly when you're used as an instrument in something that he really doesn't need us. So I urge you, I would like to light this fire under you to enjoy this seva. It is a huge pleasure, and it is part of the golden age. It's part of thinking big. We are the world. We are the ones to make a better day.
Very good. Thank you. I see everything we're talking about being the same thing. We're just using different flavors of ice cream to call them discipleship, mentoring, thinking big, welcoming seva. It's all very much the same topic. We're a one-trick pony up here. That's all we know how to do. And what I'm going to introduce you to in a couple of minutes is the story behind the story of the video interviews that we do, and show you maybe one of the two videos I've got planned for today. Had one planned yesterday, never got to it. Have two planned for today. I hope to get to one of them, and we got to do it. Jody just said we got to do it, so we'll get to one. Not right now, but soon, maybe in five or ten minutes. And basically, that has to do with discipleship too. Proactive discipleship. That's the phrase I really want us to walk away from here, having it tattooed on our brain somehow. It doesn't mean turn to heavy lifting more than the heavy lifting you're doing now. It means changing your attitude a little bit to become more intuitively awakened to the calls you see around you, where people are yearning to learn, to have what you have, and they don't know how to even ask the question, but you recognize it in them, and you can say, is there something on your mind? Where did you get your calmness from? Ravi and Rashmi, our friends from Bay City, Michigan, told us over dinner last night about their plan to go to India for a wedding. And I don't remember the words, so help me out here. I think she said, Baba, help us to be good instruments. Help us to...
exhibit your love.
Help us to exhibit your love.
Something like that.
It's a fast trip. It's a long
trip. Give your love.
It's a difficult trip. And again, everything went just like that. Everything went just like that when things could have been of a different variety, let's say. So he's there to help us. And if we ask him to help us to be responsive, to be conscious of the people's yearning around us, we won't have to do the heavy lifting of that seva that I mentioned before. It'll be a pleasure to do it. So discipleship means that as well, because as a disciple, I see it in one of two different forms. Yes, we're students. That's what a disciple is, perhaps first and foremost. We're also teachers. That's the ugly word Jody doesn't like to have ever used for her. We are teachers. Every one of you I'm looking at right now is a profound, deep, spiritual teacher. And I told you yesterday how you teach, so I won't go through that again. My seva, if I can call it that, and I'm proud to, as a disciple, has a slight variation on this theme. My job is to share other people's stories about Sai Baba with both other devotees who love them, but even more importantly with newcomers. But an interesting happened along the path to doing this form of work, and it happened last December. I was asked to share my story on Christmas Day about how my life was transformed by Sri Satya Sai Baba. And a whole string of events happened that turned me upside down. I said to myself at one point, this is the worst Christmas of my life. It's the biggest challenge I've ever faced. If I had a car here inside Prashanthi Nilayam at Roundhouse One where we're staying, I would drive myself home to Cleveland from India. That's how badly I wanted to jump out of my skin and jump out of India and jump out of my obligation to speak before the High Holiness of Sai Baba and the assembled people on Christmas Day. But I had a taskmaster with me who reminded me over and over again, dig deeper, work harder. Tell him your real story. Tell those in front of Baba your real story. And I was only too glad to be dismissive and gloss over it with a perfunctory, adequate story, which would have gotten me off the hook of burying my soul and my hindsight, perhaps. But she had a way of not allowing me to settle for just that much disclosure.
It was really painful, I must say. It's my feeling that the important part about Ted speaking last Christmas in front of Sai Baba and everyone was not that he did it, but the process that took place in him.
It was the process, believe me. It was the process.
It nearly killed me.
It tested us.
But in my opinion, the process, Baba chose Ted to do it for, I think, two or three reasons. But one was, probably a million reasons that I don't know. But one was to take Ted from, Swami actually did call Ted a doubting Thomas once. Which story I'll tell you in a sec. But this process of preparing for the talk at Christmas took him from being a doubting Thomas to a disciple. That's my belief. And it was really painful. He wrote, his first version of his talk was,
I wrote a complete speech.
Ladies, you'll understand that I didn't even know what to say. It was so bad. I was so worried he would embarrass himself.
So what did you tell me?
But I didn't know what to say because whatever was honest would be devastating to say. So I went into the bathroom alone for a while and talked to Baba. Really, this is what happened. And I said, oh, God, you got to help me here. I'll destroy him if I say the truth, that you just can't do that. So I came out of the bathroom and I said, I think you could get away with that. That's the nicest thing I could think of saying.
And I took that as high praise. I think you can get away with that.
That's how bad he was feeling. Okay, so I had to then re-explain that I meant, you don't want to present something to Sai Baba that you can merely get away with. You have to do your best. We must dig deeper. And he wrote a new version, which was a whole lot better. But Ted is accustomed to defend him. He's a famous personality in our city, the most famous face in the state of Ohio. And he's accustomed to addressing audiences, and he does it glibly, professionally.
Without working at it.
He gets in the car in the morning to go off to give a speech, and I'll say, what are you talking about? Oh, I don't know. I'll decide on the way. And he's a hero everywhere he goes. Everyone loves him because he's lovable, and he's a great guy. And all of Cleveland knows that. It's very apparent. He's been on TV every day in their homes for years. Okay, so he's used to that. He's used to a welcoming audience who knows him. He's used to not preparing. He's used to saying whatever he feels like, and everybody thinks it's great. This was a new deal. And Baba would be sitting there, and he does not bare his soul.
No, not in TV. You never bare your soul.
The third version.
Ripped up my first two complete drafts. Ripped them up totally. That's why it was the worst Christmas of my life.
He really suffered. Ordinarily, he's just a happy guy. Gets up in the morning happy, goes to sleep happy. He's a happy guy. I never saw him so miserable in my life. Never. He really suffered because he went through the process. Baba forced him to commit. And he had to commit in front of tens of thousands of people. Wow. I loved it. I was so happy. And now, he's retired now. Since then, Baba has retired him. Now he's free to do full-time seva. Now he's Baba's disciple, I believe.
So let me... So let me give you a 4 or 5 minute cue, a warning about when to dim the lights and when to show this little 10 minute video we have here, so that I have enough time to tell you what was the lesson of that talk before Sai Baba. It had nothing to do with my standing up before Sai Baba. I wish that for every one of you. Actually, I don't wish that for every one of you. It's not what it's cracked up to be. It's very, very hard. But what it meant for me was to turn myself inside out, and somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning, not on Christmas Eve, but the day before that I came to my senses and realized I have it all wrong. I've got it entirely backwards. I'm a journalist, and my area of specialty these days is spirituality. And what a nice pat on the back I can give myself by showing stories of spirituality to people on a path who want to hear reputed holy people from around the world deliver their message. That's not what it's about. You know, over the course of 11 years and 110 hour-long interviews with almost exclusively Sai Baba devotees, not entirely exclusively, but almost, I've come to realize that I did every one of those interviews for one person in this world, for myself, for me to learn at the feet of truly elevated spiritual beings. For me to understand that I have equal access to the growth as the people I'm interviewing, and for me to understand that the message is meant for my heart to change and my attitudes to change. And the way I expressed it in front of Baba was to say to the people, it's all Sai Baba's doings. First he hooks you, and then he cooks you. And he took 11 years to cook me. 11 years. And it was on Christmas Day, December 25th, that I came to realize that for the first time. And so does that mean I'm to dismiss the significance of the recorded interviews I have with people? No, it's the secondary. It's the sugar on top of the grapefruit. It's the chance to really make it available to other people. And so it's interesting because on that trip to see Sai Baba, my camera broke. We didn't know if we were going to find people to interview or not. My computer broke. My editing program broke. And then I went to a devotee whose interviews are pretty impressive all by themselves, a neighboring town friend of ours, Seema Dewan, and her husband comes to see Baba with Seema on a regular basis. And he loaned me his camera, which was a carbon copy of my camera, and it broke. So here I am, Baba. What do you want? This is before I had a clue I was going to be speaking on Christmas Day. So the TV station gives me the investigator unit where they try to catch people doing bad things, a little tiny $175, very inferior video camera, and I took that with me, and I didn't want to use it, but I had it. And we start meeting people right and left, which we'll tell you about at another time, perhaps, who have hugely significant stories to share. And I said, no, Jody, I'm not going to do it. It'd be an insult to them to use this tiny camera with a very inferior video. And she insisted that I do it. And we've got five just drop-dead wonderful video interviews. All the while, it's Swami who's working in me without my awareness that this is all part of the picture. Even to the point that well after Christmas, we're back home, I find that through circumstances which none of us dreamed of, I'm going to be retiring. And I retire to the point where I have time now to investigate a new camera, investigate a new laptop and a new edit program. And all of the, and at that same time, the world presents to me a place to put videos that I never had before, so we don't have to do the time-consuming task at Arun Chadha. Stand up, Arun. Arun Chadha has been doing so well for us, duplicating hundreds, if not thousands, of DVDs to distribute all over the world. Stand up and take a bow. You deserve it. Your tireless efforts. Just about every DVD carrying Baba's face and Baba's message through his loving devotees that circulate around the world come from his house. It's his seva. He has many forms of seva. And I'm so much in debt to that. And what we're here to tell you about today is we're announcing, we're going to debut here a new service that's going to put Arun mostly out of business. Because there's a website now that's called Vimeo, and I'll tell you about it in a second after I show you this video, that allows anybody for a tiny fee to put up hour-long interviews, as many as you want, that will be there forever, that can be seen by people all over the world. So here's a composite of several interviews, some old, some new, in a 10-minute clip. And if we could have the lights come down, we'll get ready to show the video. Okay, yeah. And then after the video is shown, I want to tell you about a couple of leelas that have happened since arriving here in Chicago, about the significance of this new service that we're being led to that has to do with, I think that's the end of it, how people can find out about Sai Baba in this form of discipleship, let's just call it that. Well, let's play the video and see if it plays. That usually is the signal that comes up at the end of the DVD. Who's got, oh, they're down there with the DVD. Well, I'll talk while he's doing it, and if I hear or see it come up, we'll go right to the video. One of the stories about this has to do with a person I decided to include a clip from on this video, and that is Father Charles Ogata. He's the Catholic priest from Nigeria who spoke before Sai Baba 2 years ago on Christmas Day. And while we were driving to Chicago the day before yesterday, I get a phone call from his home in Nigeria wanting to wish us well. And I said, Father Charles, we're on our way to the Chicago retreat. Is there anything that we can do for you? And he said, well, actually there is. He said, first of all, he was delighted to hear that his video was going to be shown. Maybe. A snippet of his video, if we can figure out how to run it. You know what? If that one doesn't run, maybe this one will. You coming up? Is it coming up? Good. And he said he's working at home right now. Okay, let's run it. Audio. Where's the audio?
Welcome to Sai Soul Journey. What you're about to see is a sample video.
Why is that
100 long-form Sai Baba devotee interviews.
Can we have somebody figure out what that hum is? Because nobody's going to understand
most
it otherwise.
Video excerpts
from interviews run on average from 35 to 60 minutes
in
duration. Many of these Sai stories were recorded at Sai Baba's ashrams in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, India.
There we go.
Welcome to Sai Sojourns. What you're about to see is a sample video of more than 100 long-form Sai Baba devotee interviews, all of which are now becoming available online. Most of these video excerpts comes from interviews that run on average from 35 to 60 minutes in duration. Many of these Sai stories were recorded at Sai Baba's ashrams in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, India. Instructions on how to precisely gain access to these video stories will be given at the end of this brief video. And now, Sai Sojourns.
I'm at a level where I have no doubt intellectually that I know I'm God. But I'm not at a level, nowhere near a level, where I know at the deepest level that I'm God. My goal in life, my faith in Swami, makes me know intellectually that I am God, because he has said it over and over again. And I have such utmost faith in him that if he says that, I have no doubt in my mind that I am God.
For me, Swami is not just God. He's inside me. He's my father. He's my friend. I just like to say that he is taking care of us and putting us through tests to make sure that we come up to the standard that he requires for his divine mission.
Just imagine if all of us lived our lives with God's guidance to us every day. If every time we did something, if we stopped and said, is this what you want me to do, Lord? Yes, no, how should I do this better? If you just stopped before you did something, every moment, just for a half a second, or as you're doing it, just make sure, just check in with God. Make sure that's what he wants for you. Make sure that's his will for your body. How transformed our lives would be. What an amazing place this world would be if everything that we did came from the divine self instead of our ego self or our body self.
Many Sai devotees, like Dr. Srikant Sola, a full-time cardiologist at Baba's Super Specialty Hospital in Bangalore, have had multiple interviews and public talks videotaped, all of which will be posted on the website.
What I do is in my daily practice, that is in this body's physical activities of the day, start the day remembering Swami, knowing that God is everything, thank him for the opportunity to worship him and glorify him through the actions and words and thoughts of the day. And I get guidance for the day. Many times we wake up in the morning, we look at the newspaper, we see what the weather is like, we see what's the latest news, the headlines and so forth. For me, the latest headlines are what Swami tells me to do for that day. He says, do this, this, and this today. And so it is, and it will happen just like that. And then as I go throughout the day, I simply breathe in God, and I breathe out God.
Baba likes all. Baba likes each one of us. And, you know, that is something I wish we knew, how much he loves us. I will share one little, well, I'll just make a comment rather than share the whole story. One day he did something so, so very special for me. I sat down and cried. And those were not the tears of unhappiness. There was no sorrow in my heart. It was just to realize how much he loves everybody. Not me, everybody. Each one of us. Earlier when I was having my experiences, I would say, my Baba. It took me a good realization when I, not that I distanced myself from him, but there came a time I stopped saying my Baba, because I realized he's not just my Baba, he's this whole world's Baba. And my children at that time used to say, one time my son jokingly said, oh gosh, Mom has hugged up Baba. Because all the time I would go, my Baba, my Baba.
So let me ask you the loaded questions. Are you any different from Sai Baba?
No, there's no difference between me and Sai Baba or between you and Sai Baba. Again, the only difference is that I know that and perhaps you don't, unless you do.
Who is Sai Baba?
He's a spiritual teacher in India who has an enormous truth to share with the world.
Does he have any lessons for you that are new?
I have not heard any new lessons from Sai Baba, though, since I was 7 years old, because he says the same things I've always known. Incidentally, I've had communication from Sai Baba and his people indicating we're doing the same work in the world. Keep it up.
Meaning? Say more.
Meaning that there is really only one truth. There's really only one being. There's really only one thing. There's really only one thing going on. There's really only one experience. And it's dividing itself into a million gazillion different ways, which is the magnificence and the glory of who and what God is.
The recent conversation I had at Bhagwan, it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was reading a book, and Swami said to me very sweetly, it's good to make a fool of yourself sometimes. And that little I in me became a little aware. Am I going to? What is it, Swami? Why did you say that? And Swami said, it is extremely important because most of the times you give yourself a lot of understanding when you're alone with yourself. And you don't, and hence you're not able to catch that little I that was big and is growing smaller. But as it starts growing smaller, you negate it. And you start saying, I don't have that little I anymore. I think I'm spiritual. And so Swami said, it's good. It's good to be outside sometimes with other people who have their little eyes that can catch your little eyes and make a fool of you on the outside so that when you're experiencing that you're becoming a fool, you're realizing that that little eye that is hurting in you, that's what I have to catch when they leave.
Who is Sai Baba? Why does he come to you and what does he tell you?
I'm not sure why he comes to me. It just started happening several years ago.
And for Wayne Dyer, just the mention of Sai Baba's name moves him.
See, even as you speak, you can see, I get very emotional. I could almost break down and cry right now. It's just, and it's not a tear of sadness. It's not a feeling that I'm, that I'm hurt in any way. It's just, it's the most blissful, peaceful. It's like, you know what it feels like to stand under a warm shower when you've been outside in the cold, and just, it's like having a warm shower running inside of you. He's one of those beings that calibrates at that exceptionally high spiritual level that is commensurate with Source, it's Source energy. He lives at Source energy. He is God.
You see, many people have this false thinking that if you are spiritual, you have to be complete, you have to be quiet, you have to go within, you have to sit quietly, and that's all true. But you see, if you go within and you touch your cord, the manifestation of that is to come out. Mm-hmm. The Atmic soul, once we touch the spirit, it must come outside. There's no such thing that if that is a greater spiritual person today, Sai Baba, he's never sat quiet for a single minute. He has built a super specialist hospital, he has built a water project. It's a clear indication that service is the expression of the spirit. So what is this manifestation of service that we are doing in our respective countries? And what is the impact to nation? What is the impact to social consciousness and so on? The world will come to know what Sai Baba is and who he stands for.
Sai Baba, the great teacher in India, always tells his devotees that you there are three persons in you. The one you think you are, the body. You are not the body. The one other people think you are, the mind, the name. Ted, when I say Ted is stupid and you get agitated, you think you are Ted, but you are not Ted. The one other people think you are, that's not you. The one you really are is the I am principle.
Just love, that's all. Love with all your heart and all your being. Love yourself, love others, and love God. And in that love, still your mind, still your ego, and see that you are that God that you've been loving, and that's all that you can ever be.
Srikant, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted.
Sai Ram.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to change the world's idea about God, about life, and about each other. I'm going to spend every last moment and every last breath that I have doing what I can to help people to come to grips with an idea that maybe we don't understand all that there is to understand about this. I've been asked many times, if God could say one thing to the world, put it in one sentence, what would it be? I actually have a one-sentence answer for that. You've got me all wrong.
Thank you very much. This is my way of being a disciple. You all have your ways, and you heard 15 different clues as to how you could be a disciple coming from these people in these very, very brief sound bites. The purpose in showing this to you is to announce that we're debuting this to the people of Chicago and the world because Baba's allowing it to happen. I started putting up 12 videos 2 weeks ago. They're already out there. I don't know how people find out about them. I was going on the computer this morning before coming over here, and it tells you how many people watch Seema Dhawan's video, how many people watch Shivangani's video. 780 video views have already taken place without one word of advertising or putting it out to any Sai group anywhere. These people are hungry for Sai Baba. They're going to YouTube. I put 10-minute versions on YouTube because that's all you're allowed to have. And at the end of the 10-minute interview in Father Charles Ogata or Dr. Sri Kansola, where it comes to an end abruptly, it says, sorry, YouTube doesn't allow more than 10 minutes. If you want to see the whole video, go to Vimeo.com. They allow hour-long interviews. So it's with great pleasure that we're able to finally find a home for these videos and put Arun Chadha out of business. He doesn't have to work so hard anymore for us. And I'm very, very grateful. So jot this down. Jody's got the pages. Actually, she's going to start handing them out now. There's three resources on these flyers that she's going to, I got it right here. There are three resources on these flyers to note. And first and foremost is where these videos are going to be found. Dolly Bailey, Shivangani. We've got five of her now. A wonderful interview that we did in her home and had to stop abruptly because Baba came to her and said this wasn't the right time to do it. So we waited until the next morning and did it. She came to our home. She spoke out under a huge tree before 50 people. Then she spoke at another time on our patio. All these are recorded, these discourses and interviews. Her husband, Gianni, who's with us today, came to the Cleveland Center just 2 weeks ago and gave a wonderful stirring talk, which is recorded. So it's going to be a great pleasure, great fun for me to have a place to put these for maximum exposure. If 780 people can come to see these dozen videos with no word out to anybody on any level, when there's 100 videos up and there's going to be, I'm going to be putting them up to the rate of about 10 a week because I have them to put up, then Baba's words are going to be available through his disciples, through Venkat Kanabadi, through Sri Kansola, through Tony, who's sitting here, who's of the many videos that I've done here, Dr. Jumsai's video that I did here 3 years ago. People are only too willing, Makia's interview, people are only too willing to talk about Sri Satya Sai Baba when they're given an opportunity. And this is the proof of it. So I'm very delighted. The first thing is, and if you don't, if you want to make sure you get it right, because it's a new place to go for videos. It's at a website called Vimeo, and I'll spell it. You just go to Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O. That's the website. They're user-friendly. There's no riffraff there. They don't tolerate any negativity. Unlike YouTube, they don't post any derogatory comments. It's a respectable, God-loving website that sprung up out of nowhere a couple of years ago that accepts hour-long interviews. And they're all being clustered under one word for ease of convenience, and the word is Souljourns, S-O-U-L-J-O-U-R-N-S. So if you go to Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O, and type in the search box Souljourns, S-O-U-L-J-O-U-R-N-S, these will become available to you. And I want to read you one, and I'll tell you, let me just finish this flyer that Jody's handing out, first of all. It includes also the 20-minute video, Who is Sai Baba, which is also available on SaiCast.org and SatyaSai.org. It's been there for the last couple of years. Once again, type in Souljourns for the Vimeo. And then the third thing is Presenting Sai Baba, Establishing Welcoming Seva, that Jody's had up on internet for the last several years. That's at our website called Souljourns.net, S-O-U-L-J-O-U-R-N-S.net. We have a long way to go to learn how to expand our particular website. And we're finding out that we don't have to worry about that because others are making it very easy for any of us to distribute information about Sai Baba on the web. So we'll be linking you to different places to find information. Father Charles Ogata, to finish that story, he's in the process of writing two books right now. One's a two-volume set. And that one's called Divine Secrets, How to Be Like Jesus. And the other book is almost finished called Sai Baba and the African Priest. He's a dynamic personality. He's what I would call a realized soul. His one enduring message is that of bringing the concept of Advaita to Christians all over the world. And so he says, as important as my story is in the book called Sai Baba and the African Priest, it's my story to be savored by fellow devotees. And he calls himself a great devotee. Again, I remind you, he spoke before Baba on Christmas Day 2 years ago. But it's his other book, the two volumes of Divine Secret, How to Be Like Jesus, the story of how Advaita can be brought to Christians around the world, that really is going to be the testimony, the testament of his time. So I hope some of you might be able to help me help him get those published. He's new to the publishing world, but boy, does he have a story to tell. And that short clip that I had of him was from behind the ashram. I've got various videos of him. I've got four videos that will all be posted up there. Nobody has seen yet some of these videos that are really important as he tells his story about his one message to repeat over and over again. And then last night, somebody says, why do you have some non-Baba videos on there? Well, because I'm a journalist and my beat is spirituality. And I've been doing that for years at TV5. I've interviewed many people, such as Neil Donald Walsh, the world-famous author of Conversations of God, such as Dr. Wayne Dyer. They have Baba connections. There's an opening for discipleship. How many people come to you and say, did you see Wayne Dyer on public broadcasting last night? And now you can say, he cries when he hears the name of my teacher. Because he does. He comes to him in his dreams. Same thing with Neil Donald Walsh, his hugely successful books on Conversations with God. One more little note about how this brings people to Sai Baba, and all of us talking about it is what makes it happen. I'm sure Arun has had many stories of, he's got these piles of DVDs, he's got to be sending them out to people who don't know much about Sai Baba, and I'm sure he's got plenty of stories to share as well. We all have our own little ways of furthering what I call this discipleship, and in, to use Jody's words, in a proactive way. And last night when we got home, I opened and read an email, and again, there are these little snippets that are on YouTube and other places, and I've got a dozen videos up on Vimeo, and nobody knows about them, except people extraordinarily hungry for God go looking for them, and they find them without needing to be told where to go. And I received this email about a video I recorded this summer that's not a Baba interview. And it comes from a woman who wrote me, and her name is Kathy, and she said she saw the interview I did with Amma Sri Karunamayi, who was in Cleveland, on YouTube, a 10-minute version, and that letter to Sojourners. Dear Ted, thank you so much for your seva of these video interviews. Finding your interview with Amma led me to your interview with Shivangani. I'm sad to know this beautiful, vibrant soul is no longer in the body. She continues to touch people through these videos. Thanks again. Peace on your path, Kathy. These are just several small examples of how the door to opportunity in our lives is there waiting for us to open it, to be disciples, to be proactive, and to spread the good news of Sai Baba. Jody.
I hope everybody has a copy of the flyer. We made 300 copies, and I hope that's enough. I gave them all out. Everybody have one? Yay! Just perfect. Perfect. Imagine that. What a coincidence. Okay, I just wanted to say that it was suggested to me that we, this is unrelated to Ted's topic, that we collect stories from this audience and other audiences about the visions people had yesterday during the Maypole meditation. I would like to send them to Phyllis, and they may prove useful in some other way as well. If you would like to send them to me at my email address, there have been many, many people telling us that they were too shy to tell about their vision yesterday on the microphone, which I certainly understand, but if you would like to share it with your Sai brothers and sisters through email, please let me know. My email address is Jody, jodycl at aol.com. And now you have a piece of paper to write it on, but probably nothing to write with.
Jody Cole, jodycl at aol.com.
As well, it's been requested that we put, that we write up that meditation, the Maypole meditation, for the world and for this half the United States. Someone else, by the way, is designated the other half of the United States, even though Ted and I have this half. It was suggested that we write up that meditation and put it on our website, souljourns.net, so it's available to everybody. And souljourns.net is mentioned here, so you have it on your flyer.
There it is. She's got it up already.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. Whoa. Ooh, speedy.
Thank you very much. I think that just about does it for us. We've got just scratched the surface, and we can talk on some other things about Baba that we all find of great interest. And I would love to really get around to learning your stories more and more. And that's what I would like to see our future visits to Chicago be about.
Okay, just to close, we have a piece of fan mail that I received as I went down the aisles, and I'm going to throw it back at you guys as a challenge. It says, Jody and Ted, have you thought of going on Oprah? Sairam, with love and thanks. And I would say, no, you should think about going on Oprah. Somebody's got to do it.
That's the event that will crack this nut wide open. The first four-minute discussion of Sai Baba on the Oprah Winfrey Show will send a shockwave around the world, but no more so, in fact, not even nearly as big as the shockwave Baba himself will send when he's ready. It's so curious, the dance we do back and forth with this Puna avatar. Nothing happens without his willing it to happen, and we try to knock down walls or reinforce concrete and iron in order to try to get further ahead in really deepening people's awareness of Sai Baba. It's happening on his watch, it's clear. But having said that, we have a duty to do all we can do. We have a duty to really play our role in this cosmic drama. And that's all we're about here, is to reawaken in you the invitation that you've had all along to become proactive disciples and think big about our beloved Sai Baba. Thank you very much.